Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and this show is brought to you by the always improving HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, all across upstate, and even through our links to Phoenix, Arizona, and Boston, Massachusetts. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, NMLS number 37405. Hunt Mortgage is an equal opportunity lender. Call them today, 633-3700, and ask one of our very skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest cost, lowest rate, and closing costs for your particular home financing needs. And also ask about our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no risk or cost to effectively enter the market to find your next home with cash. And in today's very, very competitive market, where there is really far more demand than there are properties available, you want to make sure that your offer is as strong as possible. The strongest, at least in a seller's eyes, would be cash, of course. But the equivalent, if you're working with a skilled real estate professional, like a Hunt Real Estate professional, they'll be able to show the seller that the pre-purchase commitment is the exact equivalent of cash. It's available only through Hunt Mortgage. Call them today, 633-3700, for personalized, customized service that we guarantee will knock your socks off. And don't forget about the first ever 24/7 365 real estate hotline, the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property listed for sale, not just here in Buffalo, Niagara, but in any market we serve. Our local number here is 716-631-4800. Enter the street number of the house you want to know about, no matter whose listing it is. It doesn't have to be ours, and the hotline will prompt you with a choice of street name. Select the one you want. You'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that property. That's all automatic and just that fast, anytime, in any market we serve, on any listing, whether it's ours or any other broker's. And there's no faster way to get the information you want. You'll drive by signs, real estate signs sometimes, and there's so much information, pictures, QR codes, phone numbers, websites. It's impossible to decipher all that. All you need to do is remember 631-4800, and the rest is automatic. So check it out today. We have a very active market right now, and the job of the real estate sales professional is changing much more today. It's important that you make sure you're working with a trusted advisor, a quality negotiator, someone with experience, and someone who can counsel you through the process, whether you're considering buying or selling, because it's a different process today than it was 3 or 4 years ago. And I encourage you to call a Hunt Real Estate professional today at 633-9400. Hunt is the official real estate and relocation provider of our hometown professional teams, the Buffalo Bills, the Buffalo Sabres, and the Rochester Americans. And I, for one, can't wait till we get back to some kind of normal so we can go watch a hockey game, go watch a baseball game, go watch a football game this fall. It's just it's a different way of life without that as part of our life, and we're great supporters of not only our hockey and football team, but also the Buffalo Bisons as well. Our house is broadcast live on WBN 930 AM, and if you'd like to participate in today's show, you can reach us here in the studio at 803-0930, either by calling in or texting us at that number, 803-0930. If you're long distance, it's 1-800-616-9236. And if you're mobile, it's star 930. Those are all free calls. So call us or text us with your questions or comments. We have a very special show for you today. Live remote, respecting social distance, is Michael Chamond. Mr. Chamond is the executive director of Buffalo Place. Good morning, Mike.
Peter, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I can't complain. It's a beautiful day in Western New York, isn't it?
It certainly is. That cool, crisp, bright sunlight is wonderful. Just a great day. And hopefully all of our listeners are, you know, perhaps getting ready to get out and enjoy it. But you know, we've been through a lot, Mike, and you, first of all, tell us what Buffalo Place is and what your role there is.
Well, Buffalo Place Business Improvement District, it's called a BID. We manage the Central Business District for the city of Buffalo and the county of Erie. It runs from Edwards Street on the north all the way down to the Buffalo River behind Key Center, and it includes Washington and Pearl. And we provide basic services, snow plowing. We do marketing. We do planning. Well, we have a security force, the Buffalo Place Rangers, that patrol the parking ramps and walk Main Street, Washington, and Pearl. And I work for the private sector. We have a 15-member board that's made up of 8 private sector individuals from M&T. Keith Belanger at M&T Bank is our chairman. Carl Palladino sits on our board. Paul Simonelli sits on our board. And it's made up with 7 public sector members. The mayor has his designee. It's Betsy Ball. County executive has his designee. It's Tom Hershey. Tony Colucci is appointed by the mayor to sit on our board. So it's a private-public sector working relationship that has been going on for about 35 years in downtown Buffalo.
You know, take us back to the beginning of the pandemic, last March 14th, 15th, 16th, around there, in terms of the public, I guess, kind of shutdown. What happened at Buffalo Place?
Well, we were considered a vital service because we do, you know, the trash pickup and we provide security. So since the pandemic, our operations department has been working 7 days a week to continue to keep downtown clean. And our security force has been on full time since last March. Also, all of our staff that doesn't need to be in the office, they've been working remotely, and God bless them. They have a lot more discipline than I would have. So myself and my associate director, Morgan Smith, who runs the operations side of it, we've been working 6-7 days a week through the pandemic and slowly watching downtown Buffalo come back to life. And you can see it going on as we speak. I mean, yeah, I've seen more people down there. We work closely with the parking ramp system. I keep in contact with Sam Arachi to see if there's an uptick in how many cars are parking in downtown Buffalo. And you can walk around these days and you can see more feet on the ground up and down Main Street. Some of the smaller restaurants are starting to come back. So I think we're past the curve and I think we're moving in the right direction.
What is this, your sense, Mike, about the pace of that return to whatever we described as normal in the past?
Well, you know, if you go by New Era and you walk by their parking lot, 7 months ago, 6 months ago, there was no cars there. If you walk by New Era today, the parking lot is full. The parking ramp in that area, the Osberger ramp, has saw, I think, a 30% increase in cars being parked there. I think they're slowly coming back. I think M&T Bank will be a good weather vane when they start bringing their employees back, because M&T Bank is the biggest private sector employer in downtown Buffalo. The investment that they just made at Seneca One Tower and the 1,500 new employees they're going to bring down there, it's going to take a while, but they're going to start coming back down. I feel it, and I can see it. As I said, when I walk Main Street, you see quite a few more people downtown than we've seen in the past.
In your conversations with the employers and the residents, too, frankly, as well as the business owners along Main Street and throughout the main place, Buffalo Place corridor, tell me, what do you sense in terms of the, I guess, the speed at which they're going to move from being fully remote? And I'm talking about their mentality now, not just the human pace, but do you sense that people are ready to come back to work, or is it spotty? Is it some people are liking the fact that they're staying at home working and want to continue that? What do you think, like, the percentages are of people that would fall into those categories?
Well, on a personal basis, at Buffalo Place, our manager of marketing, our manager of public spaces, our planning department, they're all dying to come back to work. They're tired of being at home. They want to get back into a routine. The folks that I speak to, you know, I talked to Paul Simonelli. He talks about his folks that are dying to come back to work. You know, Paul has just moved into 50 Fountain Plaza. They just redid their whole office space. I don't know if you've been up there, Peter, but it's beautiful. And what Paul's been telling me is his employees, he's bringing them back. So I think it's going to be up to individual employers. But I got a sense from the people that I speak to that I think there's a pent-up demand that they want to come back, and they're just waiting for it. I imagine there will be some folks that have, you know, got work at home, and, you know, they've gotten used to it. They like the routine, and you know, that's going to be a decision that's going to have to be made at a high level of whether or not the business wants them to continue to work at home, or Do they want to come back downtown? I'm hoping, and I think they do want to come back downtown.
Well, I think you know that we moved our commercial business into a fabulous new space in the Brisbane building. We've moved our mortgage company from the suburbs in back into the Brisbane building as well, into magnificent space. So we're very excited about being downtown. Yet, because of the, you know, we're sensing, Mike, and I'd like your thoughts on this. Because we compete, for example, in the mortgage business nationwide, even worldwide for employees, because of the massive growth of that industry over the last several years, we have to give our people the right to work really where they're comfortable. And we're sensing that there are some that really want to be in the office in our new space, and others that are saying, look, if I can't work from home, I'm going to take a job with somebody else that will allow me to do that. Maybe it's a bank in Texas that's trying to do mortgage business in our community. So it's a very strange environment. Do you sense that the concept of the collegial nature of business, which it always had been, is somewhat been dissipated by the whole concept of work from home?
Well, I think, you know, once the pandemic hit, everything changed. And even going forward, things are going to change. And, you know, as Buffalonians, we've been able to adapt. As a nation, we've been able to adapt. And I think it's just going to be a matter of time to figure out exactly where everything lies. But I still see a strong future in the commercial buildings in downtown Buffalo. I see a strong future for the hotels once this pandemic. And I see a strong future where I think people will want to, you know, the majority will want to go back to the office.
What do you sense in terms of the momentum lost, so to speak, from this whole period of time compared to prior to the pandemic? We were feeling enormous momentum in this community, as you know, and it was probably felt as strongly as anywhere in the Buffalo Place corridor. How can we recover to that point, and where will we go after that?
Well, you know, downtowns are always changing. Just prior to the pandemic, we had the whole downtown business improvement district from Jacksonville, Florida, come to Buffalo with their mayor to meet with our mayor and to tour downtown Buffalo and figure out what our special sauce was, because on a national level, Buffalo, downtown Buffalo, really was being seen in a very positive light. And Jacksonville came in from Florida to Buffalo to see what our special sauce was. We told them it was Frank's hot sauce. We gave them some bottles to take back. But Peter, you know, I kind of sense that, you know, there's still a lot of development going on in downtown Buffalo. What Douglas Jermel has done at the Seneca One Tower with M&T Bank and all the high-tech companies that are moving into the Seneca One Tower, which was, let's face it, 5 years ago, 6, 7 years ago, there was discussions about people were saying, let's take that building down. Now it's a beacon in downtown Buffalo. You take a look at the Statler and the fact that Douglas Jermel has taken on the Statler, and he's moving forward on it. If you drive by the Statler today, it looks totally different, the work that he's doing on the exterior. It's amazing. And Buffalo Police Headquarters, which is now being converted to residential, and other projects that are taking place. So there's still a lot of momentum going forward. And we're starting to increase, you know, how many people live in downtown Buffalo. So we're working, and I think with all the new residents that are moving downtown, we're truly working towards a 24/7 downtown, which we have never had. Well, maybe back in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s, with the neighborhood so close. But I think downtown's, you know, continuing to move in a very positive way. The public sector is investing in infrastructure. Cars on Main Street, down at the lower end of Main Street near Canal Side, what Nick Sinatra is going to build down at Canal Side, the investment that the city's making in the entertainment district on Chippewa Street, Washington, Franklin, those are all positive steps to make our downtown even more vibrant than it was before the pandemic hit.
You know, you mentioned the 30s, 40s, and 50s. Go back even farther. My grandfather told me that way back when he started our business, 1911, and throughout that entire probably next 20 or 30 years, the most desirable apartments in town, apartments, were the ones above the retail locations along Main Street. And I couldn't believe that. But then we've been in many of those buildings, as you have. And while they're going through transition now and renovation, you can see the bones of some phenomenal residential properties. And I think it's always exciting, I think, for people to live where the action is. And I guess, as you described, the return to the offices, the restaurants reopening, the hotels coming back to life, this is people want to be where the action is. I firmly believe people want to be with people. And I'm hoping that sense will be a positive stimulus to the entire corridor that you represent. I want to ask you, though, you mentioned infrastructure. You mentioned some of the repairs and to the streets that are taking place. Describe that to me in some kind of detail.
Well, the city of Buffalo is investing over $6 million in infrastructure for Chippewa Street. They realize it's an entertainment district, and when people do come back and they start coming to the hotels and they want to go out, that's where folks like to go, on Chippewa Street. So the city of Buffalo is taking what we've done on Main Street, the same finishes, and they're pushing them down Chippewa Street all the way down to Elmwood Avenue. That's under construction right now. That's $6 million. Car sharing Main Street down near Canal Side, that's been a two-year project. The NFTA is very involved. The city of Buffalo is very involved, using federal money and state money to reintroduce traffic to Main Street. We're pushing to finish traffic on Main Street so you can drive all the way down Main Street from one end of Main and Edwards all the way down the Canal Side. We have a section left to go from Mohawk to the other side of Seneca Street. Our chairman's met with Brian Higgins, and we're looking for infrastructure money to finish up cars on Main Street so we can have the Main Street that we all deserve in Western New York. And if you take a look at what's taken place with traffic on Main Street, whether it's in the theater district or the 500 block, and let's take a look at the 500 block today compared to how it looked 10 years ago when all those storefronts in the 500 block were vacant.
That's right.
Three or four new restaurants that are doing very well. You have a coffee shop. One of our board members, Steve Carmina, that not only owns a building at the corner of Main and Mohawk, but Steve also has his residence. He moved in with his wife into the Roosevelt Plaza area, invested quite a bit of money, and created a beautiful living space at Roosevelt Plaza that he has his family living in. And as he says, Mike, I can get up in the morning and I can walk to work. My wife can get up in the morning and go outside if she wants to jump on a bicycle. Go Bike has their bicycles outside sitting on at Roosevelt Plaza. So, you know, what we have is you have the public sector that's invested and the private sector is following with real money that has changed the face of the 500 block of Main Street. Peter, you walked down the 500 block of Main Street. You can remember what it was 10, 15 years ago. It was almost embarrassment.
Well, it was embarrassing, and I think that was probably one of the great motivations for my father and others that you know only too well to really emphasize the security issue, because people were scared to come down into that part of town.
Your father was a great man. He was the chairman of Buffalo Place when I was hired as executive director, and his focus was on security. And it wasn't just, you know, more police. It was also the lighting issues that we had in downtown Buffalo. It was very dark. With Stewart's help and Stewart's wisdom, we were able to get some money and increase the light levels in downtown. I can remember we bought a horse, Buffalo Place, through your father. We bought a horse for the Buffalo Police Department to have horse patrols in downtown Buffalo. Your father was huge on security. And when we started the Buffalo Place Rangers, your father was the chairman when we started that. And you know, that Ranger program has been going on now for close to 25 years, and I think it's made a difference.
It definitely has, and it was very exciting, obviously, to see that. I kind of was watching it secondhand and getting all kinds of, I guess, feedback and input from my father along the way. He bought the Brisbane building, as you know, in 1985, and at that point in time it was pretty dismal at that part of Main Street, which kind of begs the question, the thought of putting the rapid transit in was kind of, I guess, forward thinking at the time in the 70s when that all took place. But to what extent do you think taking cars off Main Street really kind of devastated that whole area in terms of a walking commercial business section?
Well, you know, now that we're in, you know, the rapid transit system, as long as we can have different types of ways to move around downtown Buffalo, including sharing the track bed with cars, oh, it's devastating. You know, we're a northern city that has a ton of snow. The whole concept of what they wanted to do when they came up with the whole idea of pedestrian malls across the country, which quite a few of them, other than the ones that are in highly populated areas like in Denver, they just don't work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you saw was we lost close to 1,000 in the downtown core when they were building the rapid transit system because the businesses just couldn't survive, and they never came back. Now, if you take a look, and I go back to the 500 block in the theater district, most of the front retail areas are full. The upper floors are now being converted to residential. It wasn't a very good transition when they took cars off of Main Street. It kind of set us back quite a bit, but...
Mike, I want you to hold that thought because we have to go to a break for the news, and we'll be right back with more with Mike Chamoun from Our House to Yours after these very important messages. Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the ever-improving HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is the only place on the web where you can find a complete inventory of homes available not just here in Buffalo, Niagara, but all through the markets we serve and through our links to Phoenix, Arizona, and Boston, Massachusetts as well. You'll also find access to a complete set of home ownership services at HuntRealEstate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate, ERA. This show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. For more information on our many exclusive programs, including the one that allows you to roll the cost of home improvements into your mortgage, allowing you to effectively buy the before but live the after. And in today's economy here and in the marketplace that we have, given our beautiful architecture, a lot of it not being that new, you want to make sure that you can afford the renovations that you're contemplating. This mortgage product allows you to do that. Call today, 633-3700. When you get them on the phone, ask them about the Second Look program also, which is the opportunity to make sure that if you've gone to another lender and you've received a pre-approval or some kind of qualification form, you want to make sure that you're getting the best deal available. We'll do that for you. It's a free second look. As a matter of fact, we'll give you a gift certificate just for calling 633-3700. Let us take a look at that, a second look for you. And don't forget about that pre-purchase commitment either. And if you'd like to simply pick up the phone and ask a question about anything relative to real estate, the only place to call is the Hunt Real Estate ERA Customer Service Center, the only one of its kind in North America, 633-9400. One of our customer service reps will either answer your call right there and give you the information you're looking for or direct you to the appropriate professional for whatever it is you may need, whether you're considering buying or selling a home, financing a home, insuring a home, or even fixing up the one you have. And remember, our guarantee stands. We will sell your home or ERA will buy it. That's the seller security plan. There's no greater security in the real estate industry today, available only through a Hunt Real Estate ERA professional. I'm live remote today with Michael Chamoun, who is the executive director of Buffalo Place. And you've been there since the beginning, or almost the beginning, haven't you, Mike?
Yeah, I was hired in 1988. So Buffalo Place was created in 1982, and the first staff members were brought on in 1985. So I've been there since almost the beginning. We have a few employees like Deborah Chernoff, who's our manager of planning, who's been there since the beginning. Deborah actually worked for the city when the idea of coming up with Buffalo Place, when the rapid transit system was being built, and the question was being asked, okay, well, who's going to do the snow plowing? Who's going to help market it? Who's going to help work on the future and planning? And the business community in downtown Buffalo got together, and they met every Wednesday morning for 2 years at 8 o'clock and discussed bringing Buffalo Place into fruition. Our longest serving board member, Carl Palladino, is actually part of the creation of Buffalo Place. And he's been on the board ever since the beginning.
And he's been on our show several times, including recently, and we had a very interesting chat with Carl. And as you know, he's invested in various forms of real estate. And our mission here on this show is to help people protect and enhance their investment in real estate, which I hope anyway, the Buffalo Place is an important piece of that investment process throughout the whole corridor that you serve. Let me ask you a specific question, if I can, Mike. There's every time you turn on the radio or television or any cable, whatever it might be, immediately, somewhere in the first couple seconds, the word vaccination hits your ears. What is it? How important is it for Buffalo Place to get the people that are going to be coming and going there, make sure they're vaccinated?
Well, I think everybody should be vaccinated. I don't understand folks that don't want to be vaccinated. Follow the science. At our organization, while you can't mandate it, we have a very high percentage right now that we actually help to schedule. Our manager of marketing actually worked on it as soon as they came up with opportunities to be vaccinated. We have 31 employees, and we reached out to our employees and said, you know, if you have difficulties making an arrangement, we'll make it. I was very fortunate that I got vaccinated. Everybody who's in our office today that's working has been vaccinated. All of our workers right now, I'd say the vast majority of them have all been vaccinated. We have one or two that are just waiting for their second shots. I think not just for downtown, I think everybody needs to be vaccinated. It's one of those, it's the science. Follow the science. Yeah, get the vaccination, and let's start thinking. Let's have the Taste of Buffalo. Let's have Thursday at Main. Let's have concerts down on the waterfront. The way those are going to come about is, you know, everybody gets vaccinated, and then you have, you move forward. On a personal note, I think it's very important. It's follow the science. Let's get vaccinated.
Well, that's the favorite term today, following the science, and I hope you're right, and I hope people listen, and I hope people will get the vaccination, and I hope we can get back to normal so that you can do the things that you've been doing for years there, Mike, which is to really, I think you use the term clean, safe, fun, clean, comma, safe, comma, fun as kind of the hallmark of Buffalo Place, and I hope, and we certainly support that. Mike, I'm going to shift gears just for a second. We have a text that came in. I'm just going to read it. Mr. Hunt, I'm a longtime listener to your show as well as all things WBEN. You mentioned the real estate business has changed significantly in the last 2 to 3 years. I'm wondering if you would comment on the change that I have become aware of. A house goes on the market, a real estate agent is involved. Instead of listing the house for its market value, the agent lists it for considerably less. This results in a stampede of potential buyers and a bidding war. This happened just last month involving an older home across the street from us in East Amherst. The home was listed at $179,900 and sold in 1 week for $250,000. The premise of this comment is that a real estate agent will list the house for less than market value. I've had probably 5 conversations just in the last couple days about this very topic. I don't believe that there are that many agents, and I think it's perhaps unethical to list a home for less than what we believe or that particular agent believes the house should sell for on the open market. The problem that we have today, and I'd like to respond directly to this texter, the problem we have today is that predicting the market value going forward almost is extremely difficult because of what's happened in the recent past. Just in the last week, I heard of 2 stories where homes in this price range sold for $100,000 more than the list price. In both cases, I asked our particular sales professional if the list price that they put on that house was the right price in their mind at the time. And in both cases, they believe so. It's just that there was incredible buyer demand. Buyer demand, or demand for anything, will push its price up. And right now we're in a situation where the number of homes available is far less in any given day than the amount of the demand as represented by the number of buyers in the marketplace. So it's a very unusual time. I was just talking with one of the folks here at the radio station about this earlier. it's a very unusual time that I'm not sure the end is in sight anytime soon. So it I guess behooves people to compete aggressively if they can for a house that they want. At the same time, there will be a backlash out there someplace where people will say, a buyer will say, or buyers in general, that enough's enough, and you know, we're not going to just overpay. So it's a very interesting time, and you know, I'm looking forward to the day, Mike, where this happens also in the office market, where it happens in the retail market for real estate, that is, where there's so much demand for the next new business that we're experiencing the upward movement in rents, for example, in the Buffalo Place corridor. One of the things that was pointed out to me recently, and I'd like your comments on this, is that in spite of all the good things that were happening pre-pandemic in terms of customer demand, access, just the people, the feeling people had in downtown Buffalo, our rents really hadn't moved up all that much in a long time. Do you sense that, or were you aware of that? And how do you monitor, I guess, the competitive nature of rents in Buffalo Place?
Well, one of the things that as an organization we don't get involved with is pitting our landlords against landlords. We work with everybody. You know, we don't do any listings. We have nothing to do with the rent structure. I do know from our board members that, you know, in certain buildings, the cost per square foot hasn't gone up that much as inflation has gone up. But that was starting to change prior to the pandemic, and I think it boils down to product. And if you have the right product and there's the interest, I think they'll start to climb again. I don't think it's a good judgment on the past year, but moming forward, what M&T Bank has invested at Seneca One Tower and what they're going for per square foot for rents up there, I think they've gone up a little bit. So, you know, I'm an optimistic type of person. So I think, you know, I think that you'll see rents starting to go up, but I have no inside information on that. I think it boils down to product and what people are looking for.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you're not directly involved in working with tenants or that kind of thing, but championing all of them, the tenants and the landlords.
If people want to know where the apartments are, but, you know, we don't put prices on. You know, that's between the building owner and the tenants.
Well, two more comments have come in by text here quickly. One is, Ben, this I'm quoting now, been listening to your show for years, and you lost me with your vaccination brainwashing. Are we being brainwashed, Mike, in terms of the vaccinations?
I don't think so.
Okay, I'm not.
I think you follow the science. No.
Well, you know, let me ask you this, because this is always kind of bothered me. How does the average human being in this country, quote, follow the science when we're getting so many conflicting reports?
That's a good question. I don't know. It's an individual decision. But when you're talking about a pandemic that affects the whole country, the whole world, I think you have to do everything you possibly can to get rid of it. And right now, it seems to me that, you know, the vaccine, you know, is something that will help to eliminate and protect individuals. Mm-hmm. But again, it's an individual decision. I'm obviously pro vaccine, and I'm not going to change, but that's my individual decision, and I just follow the science.
Well, hopefully the whatever science you're following is accurate, I guess, because I'm sometimes mystified by the contradictory information that we receive, quote, from the scientists. And the one fact about science that we need to remember is that by its very nature, it's constantly evolving. So hopefully we're evolving to a better place for the whole of the world population. One last comment before we go to a break, and this is a quote. Mike is a Buffalo hero. Excuse me. Mike is a Buffalo hero. So congratulations, Mike. We've got one fan here anyway. And we'll be right back with more from our house tiers after these important messages. Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the ever-improving HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. This show is also brought to you by Hunt & Mortgage, home of the pre-purchase commitment, the second look program, and the buy the before and live the after program, all available exclusively through Hunt Mortgage at 633-3700, NMLS number 37405. Call them today. I'm live remote today with Mike Chamond, who is the executive director of Buffalo Place. We've been having a kind of a wide-ranging discussion about how people are going to go back to work, specifically in the downtown corridor in Buffalo. Are there other sections like this around the country, Mike, or is this a unique phenomenon here in Buffalo?
Oh no, it's you know, I belong to a New York State organization, and you know, I hook up with the folks at Business Improvement District in Syracuse. Rochester's trying to create a Business Improvement District, but they do have an organization that keeps track of their downtown, Binghamton, Albany. Everybody's up against the same fight that we're up against. They're all, you know, and we communicate all the time. What's the governor going to do? Is our restaurants going to be able to have more than 25% capacity? You know, it's not just Buffalo. It's all over the country. My brother works in Miami. As a matter of fact, he has a job similar to mine. He runs on Lincoln Road in Miami Beach, and he runs their business improvement district. Right now, it's unbelievably busy. But when the pandemic hit, all those high-priced stores and restaurants down on Lincoln Road, they were sucking wind like everybody else. And he would send me pictures of him standing on Lincoln Road, which averaged somewhere in the neighborhood, I believe, of about 50,000 visitors a day during the peak. There'd be nobody on the street. And it was, you know, so it's not unique to downtown Buffalo. It's happened all over the country.
Speaking of what's happening all over the country, obviously the whole issue of rapid transportation and infrastructure is a hot topic, and we've got a couple of callers about this very thing. This is Gustav from Williamsville. Gustav, how can we help you?
Good morning. Thank you. I'm curious if Mr. Chamond knows whatever the most recent operating deficit, if there is one, on the current rapid transit is, and also whether he favors the extension of the rapid transit to Amherst. Thank you.
Interesting. What do you think about that, Mike?
I don't know what the deficit is. I do know that Congress has passed an infrastructure, or working on an infrastructure bill that will put quite a bit of money into the NFTA. And quite honestly, I do believe that when they built the rapid transit system, one of the reasons that it was approved and bought on was the fact that they were going to expand it and they were going to take it to Amherst and take it out to the University of Buffalo. I'd personally like to see it go all the way out to the airport also. Definitely in favor of expanding rapid transit to bring people into downtown Buffalo. If you could, you know, come into downtown Buffalo on a train all the way from the University of Buffalo in the north and go to a hockey game, come downtown on the rapid transit, never have to drive downtown and get off the train, I think it would be a wonderful thing. I'm completely in favor of expanding rapid transit.
Well, certainly we hope that that'll happen. We hope that people will use it right now. it's kind of sad to see the train go by with so few people on it. Here's another caller. This is Jay from Buffalo. Jay, how can we help you?
Hi. I'm. Good morning, guys. I just wanted to say I'm glad that someone finally recognized the fact that taking the cars off of Main Street downtown was an economic disaster. And the politicians who brought us this, and I'm going to extrapolate here just a little bit, it's the same type of thinking now that is saying we can change behavior on the 198 and all the way we drive on our streets. I look around, I just said, I'm a bicyclist in this city for 20 years, year round. And more than that. And what's going on is you're trying to change human behavior here. And it failed downtown. We recognized it. And we're going back to making things convenient for the way people live. And I'm glad that someone's finally recognized it.
How would you respond to that, Mike?
Well, I think it's important that, you know, we have different modes of transportation in downtown Buffalo. I see more bicyclists downtown these days than I've ever seen, and my hat's off to Go Bike Buffalo. They've done a great job, and all the ready bikes that are in downtown Buffalo. And I think it was a huge mistake when they eliminated cars from Main Street. But, you know, that's being a Monday morning quarterback, you know, and saying all we got to do is keep moving forward. We got to work with our federal government. We got to work with the city of Buffalo, and we have to finish the project. Cars on Main Street is an economic engine for downtown Buffalo. Where the private sector follows, when the public sector invests, the private sector follows. You can see it on Main Street. You can see it in the theater district. Nick Sinatra's investment in the theater district. You can see it in the 500 block of Main Street. It's very important. As far as the 33 and the Skajakwita, I don't have a dog in that fight, so I'm going to keep that to myself.
You've got enough to worry about, I guess. We've got a bunch of texts coming in here, Mike, which I just want to see if I can share some of these thoughts with you. One is, good morning, gentlemen. I love seeing the improvements in Buffalo and would absolutely love to live downtown, but as I retire, I can't afford the rents. They are two-thirds of my Social Security. I know it's supply and demand, but it's priced me out. And he saw also, this person also says, love your show. I guess that's an important point. You know, I mentioned about the market and how demand will affect our pricing, but we do seem to have a somewhat of a glass ceiling in terms of rents, as well as for commercial space, as well as for residential space. And I also have interviewed many developers on this show who've told me the same thing over and over again, and that is that without historic tax credits and other incentives, that they couldn't even bring these units into the market at the rate they are, which may seem high to a lot of people, but relative to the rest of the country, they're still low. Do you sense that? Do you speak with developers, and do they share similar thoughts with you, Mike?
Well, you know, we have some of the bigger developers on our board. You know, Carl Palladino and what he's done in downtown Buffalo. He was one of the first to actually do a complete rehab of the old Burgers building and converted that into apartments. And obviously, Rocco Termini, who's done not only a great job in downtown Buffalo, but take a look at Chandler Street. And I can remember going on Chandler Street years ago. There was a bar there, Mr. Bumble's, and Chandler Street 30, 40 years ago was in pretty rough shape. And seeing what Rocco's done over there. And the deal with the apartments in downtown Buffalo, they can't build them fast enough. So there obviously is a demand to live in downtown Buffalo. I don't think they're overpriced. I think they're priced right, because right now what Doug Jermel is doing at Seneca One Tower in filling up the 100 units that he built, and they're almost full. So there's a demand, and I think the developers are meeting the demand. I think what we're lacking in downtown Buffalo, and I think down the road we'll see this come to fruition, is we need more condos. I think people want to live downtown, but they want to have they want to own. They don't want to rent. They want to own. So I'm hoping, and I do see a future where we'll have condos coming to downtown Buffalo. What Jake Snyder did with the White Building right behind you, converted it, took the tax incentives, had to hold on for 5 years, and now he's converted those apartments into condos. And as I understand it, I think all of them have been bought so far.
And even resold in some cases. So, yes, what you're saying, and you mentioned something that's critically important, and each of the developers on my show have said the same thing. They must hold them as rental properties for a period of time, 5 or 7 years, depending on the set of incentives that they receive, which means that there won't be, in those units anyway, there will not be the opportunity for people to buy, and it's a different dynamic. You heard an ad earlier about the West End, which is along the waterfront, which is an incredible project. And people want to see that today. They can go to the waterfront and see it. It's going to be open this afternoon. It's a remarkable project. We're called Deacon Tasker, our real estate professional handling it. But it's that is just enough removed to be kind of its own neighborhood, as well as being very close to downtown. But there are very few condominiums for sale, as you point out, and that's And even in today's tight market, that makes it even more difficult to get something to own downtown. I agree with you, Mike. I certainly hope that we can see more product for sale, condominiums for sale in downtown, in the Central Business District, because that brings great vitality when people have a vested interest in the community where they're working.
Absolutely. More.
We're looking forward to that, as you are. We've only got a few minutes left here, Mike. And I, if you were to look forward in, say, the next 6 months, how do you see the progression of people reentering physically the workplaces in Buffalo Place?
Well, I think looking forward and looking to the future, I think that as the pandemic goes behind us, I think you're going to see more people traveling, people coming back to Western New York to visit with families, because there's this pent-up demand, I believe, that people do want to go and they do want to travel and they want to spend time. So I imagine the hotels will start kicking up in the very near future. The bars and restaurants in downtown Buffalo will obviously enjoy the new people coming in that haven't been in a while. I see, it's been so dark, I see nothing but light in the future. I think it's moving in the right direction. We have a great product in downtown Buffalo. There's so many things to see. Architectural tours, Taste of Buffalo is talking about coming back this year, which would be a huge special event for downtown Buffalo. We're planning on Thursday of Main, which years ago we used to do a little event at Lafayette Square right in front of the Brisbane building, where we used to bring on an average of about 12,000 to 15,000 people every Thursday night to enjoy what downtown had to offer. Our goal was to bring people down, entertain them, help pay for the event, and leave enough money in their pockets so they could go out and enjoy Chippewa Street, enjoy down at Canal Side. I'm very bullish on the future of downtown and of Western New York. I think we'll get through this pandemic. We've been through worse, I believe, in downtown Buffalo, and I see nothing but a positive future.
I'm glad to hear you say that, and I'm glad to hear you mention Lafayette Square there as well. How do you see, it's been, I think, very positively evolving between Main Street and the library. Will that continue? I know there's public art being planned there. What do you see happening there?
Well, yeah, the Reading Park, which is in front of the library, we're trying, one of the things with Lafayette Square, and it's so close to me that, I spent so many Thursday nights at Lafayette Square for so many years. I look back, we were there the other day with the landscape expert, in the back of Lafayette Square, we're trying to improve the grass, and those trees in Lafayette Square, I was there when they were planted, and it's just a magnificent place for people in the middle of the summertime, when everything's cooking on Main Street, to be able to, take a step back and sit in a nice environment and just look at the buildings around you and watch the people walking up and down Main Street. We'll be bringing the Farmers Market back in front of the Brisbane building and Main Place Mall and M&T Plaza the end of May, a couple of weeks away. So Lafayette Square is, to me, it's, when I think of downtown Buffalo, my first thoughts always go to Lafayette Square.
Mike, we're just about out of time. I want to thank you for the great attitude that you bring to our Central Business District in Buffalo Place. And I want to thank all of our listeners for bringing their great attitude to this show as well. I think we've got a great future too, Mike. Mike Chamond, a Buffalo hero, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Peter. Have a good day, you and your family. Stay safe and stay healthy.
And you too. And we'll be back next week at the same time. Remember, when it comes to real estate, all of upstate is hunt country.
WBEN Buffalo, WKSE 3 HD 3 Niagara Falls. Odyssey Station.